Welcome to the Deep Dive Podcast. Our goal is to help you cultivate a regular practice of spending time in God's Word. We take a deeper look at the passages we are reading each week in order to help you encounter the life-changing love of God in Scripture. This podcast is a companion to our weekly reading plan. Check out the podcast description for a link to that. And thanks for joining us. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Deep Dive Podcast. As you know, we are reading together through the book of Hebrews. Each week, we have a passage of scripture in Hebrews that we're reading. We're reading it four times during the week, reflecting on that passage with several different questions. And then we have a podcast episode that we listen to at the start of the week that kind of primes the pump for what we're going to be reading that week. And this week we're in Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm super excited to invite my friend Jeremy Walker onto the podcast. Jeremy is our worship pastor here at First Shallow Water. He also works for Texas Girls and Boys Ranch, which is a home for children who've been removed from their home, so a foster care kind of situation. They do a lot of things. But Jeremy is kind of the education program director there at Texas Girls and Boys Ranch as well. So he's deeply involved in that ministry. And we're grateful to have him at First Shallow Water, him and his family. And I'm grateful to invite him onto the podcast today as we dig into Hebrews chapter 3. So Jeremy, anything that you want to say to the tens of people that listen to our podcast?
Just want to say I love this. I love what we do. I love that it puts such an emphasis on scripture, and it doesn't make it, it doesn't set scripture and the reading of it and the understanding of it, doesn't set it up like here are the professionals, and they're going to discuss scripture, and then we're just supposed to listen to that.
Yeah.
No, we involve so many of our people, and it just creates community around scripture. Mm-hmm. And there's no better way for us to understand what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do, mm-hmm. what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, than to approach scripture because of its consistency, because of its unwavering stance on who Jesus is.
Right.
And then the Holy Spirit gets to use that in teaching us, guiding us, motivating us. And it, for me, if nothing else, it's the best way for me to reflect. And whenever I think about, is the Lord leading me to do something? Is the Lord, you know, put something on my heart? Whenever I compare that to scripture, that is a great way for me to determine, is this indeed true?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Which I'm really excited about, because I think that's something that Hebrews chapter 3 says, and I'm excited about getting into that.
Yeah,
so that's awesome.
I agree that there's an accessibility thing. And you know, people sometimes when they read scripture, like if you just kind of dive into some books of the Bible, you can feel like, oh my gosh, I am so confused. I don't know what's happening right now. Some of this language doesn't make sense to me. I don't really understand what all is going on. And so scripture can sometimes feel inaccessible, or can sometimes feel like I need, you know, really smart people to help me, you know, understand all of this. And look, there are a lot of great guides and things out there that we can use, right, to help us understand. But Hebrews is kind of one of those books sometimes, Jeremy. There are places in Hebrews where it's not as easy, you know, as, you know, Philippians, right?
Which we've
done already, or even Mark. You know, there are places in Mark where you're like, what did he just say? You know,
right.
And it's kind of the same way in Hebrews, where it's kind of hard to get your brain around what all is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that we're doing this too, because the whole point, y'all out there listening, is we want you to understand that the book of Hebrews has got a lot of really rich, beautiful things that we're supposed to understand, and it is accessible to any of us. You don't have to have a seminary degree to open up the book of Hebrews and read it and glean from it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's good.
That's really good, because I don't think either one of us have that.
Yeah, well, I do.
One out of two is great.
One out of two is great.
There you go.
But frankly, you know, that doesn't qualify me for much. Can I be real with you? But I would say that, you know, I think that's important for us to, you know, to know. The Holy Spirit can speak to us through God's Word. And we need to spend time regularly in it so that the Holy Spirit can do that. So, So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that too. So, but let's talk about Hebrews chapter 3, Jeremy. Let's talk about
So I think one of the coolest parts about Hebrews is, even though, you know, like you can look at Ephesians, you know, mm-hmm. it was written to the church in Ephesus. It's got a really specific recipient. You know, right. It was intended for someone specific. Yeah. And even though the book of Hebrews isn't written like that, it's not written like a letter. It's not, you know, dearest, you know, and you can name these people. like you see in some of these others, especially Paul's writings, you know, you don't have that, but you do have a pretty distinct audience. I mean, it was written to the Hebrews, and it was given, you know, to these, it was distributed however it was, you know, originally, but it was really written to help illustrate how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of this prophecy and, mm-hmm. and all of these different things, and how we can, because of all that prophecy and because of who Jesus is and who he says he was and all of that, that we can have confidence knowing that he is the fulfillment of everything that we need. Yeah. And even though the vast majority of our audience is not going to be of the Jewish tradition, we do have, you know, because we are who we are in the stage in Christianity that we are in, you know, we do have a religious background as well. I mean, there are activities and different things that go on. And so I think that there, it is still makes it very relatable to us.
Yes.
You know, whenever he talks about Moses, whenever he talks about, especially in the beginning of chapter 3, you know, he opens the door for the reader to have confidence knowing, hey, here's this story about this person that we revere so much.
Yeah, right.
And then let's put in context, who is that person?
Yeah.
That person is a servant of the Most High God,
right?
And acknowledge that, you know,
because
that's what Moses did. I mean, he served the Lord, and then we look in you know, Hebrews 3 talks about how, you know, Jesus was the builder of that house.
Yeah,
you know, he's the one that crafted Moses to be who he was.
Yeah, yeah,
and all the things that he accomplished because that was the. It was necessary in the overall story of how God was going to redeem this people, going to save them out of the oppression that they were in, mm-hmm. going to put them into a place that is that was created for them, and that is a picture of what he's doing for each one of us.
Yeah,
as a picture of what he's saving us from, not necessarily, you know, the tyranny of Egypt, but, you know, the oppression of sin and death that inevitably accompanies sin,
right?
And how he is going to draw us out of that and draw us sometimes maybe through wilderness, but then, you know, with steadfast faith, going to draw us into his perfect presence,
right?
You know, and it's just I love that it is what it is, and you just can't say enough about how perfect these stories are and the way they. The Holy Spirit uses them to relate to me personally in this age, in this time, completely separate, but an all-knowing, all-loving God has brought this word to us and it ministers to us right at this moment.
Right now, yeah. So you mentioned a couple of things that I want to kind of circle back around to and talk about. We talked a little bit about, so, you know, Hebrews written, obviously, the title of it is Hebrews. And the reason why it was titled that is because it was written to Hebrews, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we think either Rome or maybe even in Palestine, Jerusalem, this letter was written to congregations of Jewish believers, mm-hmm. you know, groups of Jewish believers mm-hmm. in one of those two places. And so it deals explicitly with the concerns and the religious background you mentioned right of a person who's Jewish, right? It deals mm-hmm. explicitly with that, and you can tell it's a person who's making their case, right? They're preaching this sermon, mm-hmm. and their text is the Hebrew scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. The Old Testament. So, in fact, maybe even a couple of particular Psalms that was the text for this sermon that's being preached. So the other thing, though, and this has already come up, and it's going to be a theme. So pay attention out there, folks. The other thing is, you know, we've already heard the writer of Hebrews talk about how Jesus is supreme over the angels, mm-hmm. you know, And here we're going to talk about supreme over Moses, which is kind of the same thing as saying over the law. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to hear over and over again in the book of Hebrews, you're going to hear over and over again, Jesus is supreme. If, mm-hmm. if I could say, what's the main idea of the book of Hebrews, in maybe more so than a lot of other books in the New Testament, the main idea of the book of Hebrews is Jesus. He's clearly making a case for who Jesus is and for his position, his place of superiority over all other things.
Right, that he is preeminent over all of their history.
Exactly. Right?
And where today I think that there are a lot of people that really distinguish Jewish people from Christians, and Hebrews really, really draws us back. It says, no. This was all done in your house, you know,
yeah, right.
in this home. And that, you know, that's what he says there. So he's done all this to draw you into it too.
Yes.
This isn't just for Gentiles. This isn't just for those that were far off.
Right.
This is for Jesus's own people, you know?
And this whole Jesus thing is the culmination.
Exactly.
It's the culmination of your story. Like this is the completion, the fulfillment of everything that you have been thinking about, longing for, doing your whole life.
For hundreds of years.
Yeah. So anyway, and the it kind of all comes to a head there. And we talked about this before we started, but with verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 3, but Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses. All right, let me go back to verse 2. He was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, Moses was put in charge of a house. Okay, but remember who built the house. The Lord God built the house.
Right.
And Jesus is the one who built the house. Another thing you see a lot in Hebrews is the writer of Hebrews makes no distinction between God and Jesus. The divinity of God is not at question in the book of Hebrews, you know, the divinity of Jesus. He is completely God. And he wants to make that point over and over and over again in this book. And that's another thing that we see kind of as we dig into it. But the superiority of Jesus over the law and over the story of the Hebrew people. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Exactly.
I like what you said too, because you talked about the story of the Hebrew people, which is Exodus and deliverance, mm-hmm. you know, but also exile and and rebellion and the wilderness, all of those things, you know, mm-hmm. and Jesus is the culmination of all of that stuff. So that's what we get into there at the first part of this passage. And then you get down to verse 6, but Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. And then beginning verse 7, that is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now he's reminding them of the story of Israel in the wilderness. They
right with heart. With and he this isn't his original text. This is from Psalm 95. So he's relating it back to something that they have confidence in.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
And so he's not like trying to take them off this theological limb,
right.
You know, and like you know move them out too far. He's saying you already know this, you already believe this,
right?
So I'm showing you how this was fulfilled.
Yes, yeah. And so he's warning them against making the same mistake that Israel made in the desert, which is what Psalm 95 is referring to, mm-hmm. you know, and that where they got out into the desert and they got into some difficult, you know, painful circumstances, and they began to grumble, mm-hmm. and they began to doubt God, they began to forget all that God had done, right? And what he's saying is that not trusting in Jesus is that same mistake that people would make, that they made in the wilderness.
Right.
And also talking to a group of folks who probably like Israel in the desert had experienced some persecution at this point, you know? So, and had been through some difficult and painful things themselves.
And they had seen on that same hand, they had seen God's miracles for 40 years. Right. And they still let sin convince them that they couldn't trust God.
Right. Yeah. 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 Ooh, and I like the way you put that. They let sin convince them that they couldn't trust God. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Keep going.
Okay. So I can't read this without thinking about Jesus's parable of the different of the sower.
Yeah, exactly.
So he,
yeah.
He casts seed. The seed is all the same, right? And so it's really just a question of the ground that it falls on. Some falls on the path. Some is really shallow ground. It's rocky, you know, depending on how which translation you read. But it's shallow enough that it sprouts.
Yes.
And then the sun beats down on it and it withers away.
Right.
And then there's another. It sprouts and this is something that I think probably. I relate to more. I grew up the son of a farmer.
Yeah.
Before Roundup Ready Cotton, you know, for those of you who that know what I'm talking about,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it was a wild time back there. You know, we were hoeing from sun up to, you know, to the hottest part of the day, took a decent break and then we went back. It was every single day that we could to manage those weeds. It was hard.
Yeah.
You know, but when I think about ground that could produce thorns, right? Because that's the third kind of ground that the seed lands on. And the seed lands on that third kind and it produces all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not focused.
Yeah, right.
It's not intentional about what it's trying to grow. It's not intentional about what it's trying to raise. And as a result, all these other things that have leaves and it looks like things are flourishing and looks like but it chokes out the truth of the gospel. It chokes out the truth, the unwavering truth of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And as a result, that fruit never matures. It never becomes anything.
Yeah.
And it's only the what was called, you know, the good soil that is deep rooted and has been tended. It's been cultivated. It's been worked on.
Right.
You know, and elsewhere in the Gospels, it calls, you know, God or Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it calls them the good gardener that is going to tend to that, you know?
Yeah.
And any good farmer, whenever you have land that's not producing enough, you don't just, you know, let it go. You don't just go, okay, we're not going to worry about that part. No, you're trying to figure it out.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to put whatever it takes to get in there. You're going to loosen the soil. You're going to give it the nutrients that it needs. You're going to take care of the weeds that creep in, you know, and weeds just have a tendency to do that. And so whenever I read this, especially these next few verses, 12 through 14, that's the picture that I see is there's this concept of what is it that we're doing today to make sure that I am profitable soil.
Yeah, right.
Am I producing fruit? Because that is, when you're talking about that parable of Jesus, that's obviously the point.
Right.
Is that there's one type of soil where when his seed hits it, it's going to produce fruit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so in verse 12, and if you want me to read it out of...
No, read it out of
okay. So I'm reading out of the English Standard Version because that's what I've got.
Yeah.
Verse 12 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today,
right,
that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin."
Yeah.
That none of you would be deceived by sin, you know? "For we have come to share in Christ Jesus, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Right?
Yeah.
So let me first of all, you talk about what jumps off the page.
Right.
It's not off the page, but one of the first things that I hear is the deception of, but how do you know? How do you know that you're going to be one of those that goes to the end?
Right, yeah.
You know, you've battled sin your entire life.
Sure.
You know, and I hear this in my mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's not talking about you.
Yeah.
You're not going to last to the end.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't have confidence in your salvation experience.
Sure,
you were 9 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How could you trust that? You know? As a minister, someone who had professed to be called to the ministry, I engaged in sin in a way that brought a whole lot of shame to me
sure.
and to my family.
Yeah.
And that is, that's just, you know, drizzled into my ear. You know what I'm saying?
And
as I read this, one of the reasons that I know that scripture is powerful is if I read a comic book or if I'm watching sports or something like that, Satan didn't talk to me.
Right.
At all. He's not, he don't care.
Yeah.
When I read this, there is a battle going on in me.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Is my faith truly what this is talking about?
Yeah.
And I think that it is so important for us to think about that and hear about that, because sowing seeds of doubt, right? That's one of those weeds. That's one of those pests that the enemy constantly tries to sow into our good soil. And if we're tending our soil, like what that parable talks about, you know, if we're doing that, that's something that we're going to constantly have to rip out.
Yeah.
Right. And we're going to constantly have to cultivate and be invested and intentional about what we're hearing, because otherwise we go, I don't know if I can do this my whole life.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I don't know that I can ward off sin my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got this concept of, you know, and I think that people can be lured into believing that something in your past either is all you need. Like, oh no, I said a prayer and I was dunked that one time when I was nine.
Yeah,
you know, that's enough. That's all I have to do.
Yeah.
And that's a lie.
Right.
And then the other thing is, oh, well, but you don't know about my past. You don't know what I've done.
Right.
You know,
it disqualifies me.
Exactly. Yeah. And it disqualifies me, which is another lie.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we can't have confidence in our past
mm-hmm.
other than to say there is a steadfastness of scripture that is true about me.
Right.
Right. That I have confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I do believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I am saved.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
In as much as that is, as far as justification is concerned.
Uh-huh.
But then there's this whole other thing, like this sanctification word, this process of God every single day chipping away at the roughness of me to create a better image of him.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Pruning away the limbs and the things about me that don't produce fruit so that I can do more of the producing of fruit that he wants.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so all of those things, and then I can also look to my future and I can either say, one, I have no hope because there's no way that I can live a life. It's been a struggle to this point. I don't have the energy to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Which is also a lie. Because you don't have to do that. That's not the point.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is to say, oh, I don't have to worry about the future. You know?
Right.
I don't have to prepare for it.
Yes.
You know, also a lie. And so those lies that the enemy tells us, they sound almost true.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the more we dive into scripture, the more we hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us through it, the more able we are to recognize what is the truth in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because someone could take this and many
twisted.
Many pastors have.
Yeah.
And they've twisted the truth of this. And there have been people who have fallen away and I don't know any other way to say it. Woe to them, who have caused children. You talk about Jude, caused children to fall away, because they've twisted scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But you read this, or I read this, and in 12 and 14 are, look at 12 again. Okay. So take care. So we're going to be intentional.
Yeah.
We're going to take care. We're going to do something. We're going to do something.
Well, and I want to,
stop right there
because that's what jumped out to me. Okay. When I read this, because in the NLT says, be careful, mm-hmm. right? Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters, and yours is take care, right?
Yeah.
And so I just, for me, that's really meaningful because so much of my life often, and so often the lives of people that I minister to and I see, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's really missing from us a lot of times is intention.
Yes.
It's like, no, and I'm not really sure what it is. Like we have kind of this, and really faith is the only place, and a lot of people, especially in our town, right? They're not, people in our town are, a lot of them are successful in a lot of different endeavors in their lives. They're people who have been very intentional, very focused, very driven in their work.
Right.
They're very focused, very driven when it comes to like academic success, athletic success, all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of known for that kind of stuff in this town. But somehow when it comes to faith, we have this really passive approach to it. And it's almost like, man, if I, you know, if I show up a couple of times at church on Sunday morning, that I feel like I'm checking that box off, you know?
Yeah.
And, but there's not a lot of real intentional, like, no, this is, you know, this is priority. This is the most important thing. I want to really invest and take care.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
I think we don't do that enough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, and absolutely. I think that this is intentional. And what really matters is, I love what he says about, so long as it's called today.
Right, yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about yesterday.
That's right.
The grace has covered it.
That's right.
Right? You don't have to worry about tomorrow, right? But we do prepare for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And how do we prepare for tomorrow and the next day and 100 years from now? Uh-huh. We prepare by taking care of today. Yeah. Exactly. And so you know, he says, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. So what's the evil heart? It's the one that lacks belief, that lacks faith, right? And how is it that can creep into us? And it's because we could eventually believe the lie. And that's what 14, I think it's 14, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, right? And so we can't let that creep up. We do have to take care that whenever, anytime we hear that, we recognize that deceitful voice that's speaking into us, and whether that deceitful voice is coming from a neighbor or some form of, you know, the news or sure, whatever, yeah, worry or anything like that, it can be used to drive that wedge between us and the Lord.
Yeah.
Just like the people in the wilderness, you know, when they were there, they were being fed every single day.
Right.
They had every one of their needs met.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And yet they get to the Jordan River and they, oh no, we can't do it.
Yes, right.
He didn't just manifest 40 years of manna,
yeah,
and quail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And split rocks open for us to drink out of.
Right, yeah.
He didn't do that.
Yeah.
We forgot about that. He didn't have a pillar of fire and smoke.
Yeah, going before us. Yeah.
We didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have these constant reminders of who God is, uh-huh, and what he's capable of. He didn't defeat the Egyptian army without us doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't do that, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, but apparently somewhere along the way,
yeah,
this lie crept in to that generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they refused to believe.
Yeah.
They refused to see. They refused to acknowledge. And as a result, they couldn't go into that promised land.
Yeah.
And where I think some people are going to grow, they're going to read this and they're going to grow in fear. Like, well, what if I'm one of those?
Right.
No, we're going to have confidence in that. We're going to do the work today.
Well, and that, so that's it, right? Like, like what he's saying to them is that he's saying, you know, what you do is you get up every day and you remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. You get up every day and you grab on
to
the rope and you hold it tightly. That's what you do.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, yeah, exactly. And not just for me, because then what that does is that says, hey, Brad, this is all you.
Yeah.
If you don't get this done, you know, well then, you know, right, which is another lie, uh-huh, because none of us were designed to be in isolation.
Right.
None of us are independently walking the road of faith.
Exactly.
None of us. Because 13 says, but exhort one another.
That's right.
Every day.
Yeah.
As long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah.
None of you are going to be lured away. You know why? Because your brothers and sisters in Christ are going to encourage you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, which makes the community so important, mm-hmm, and it makes Sunday valuable, but not the ultimate value.
Yeah. Right.
That's one of the reasons why Crystal and I wanted to come to a place like this.
Yeah.
Is because we wanted to be connected, not just to our church family and be closer to our church family.
Sure. Yeah.
But we wanted to live with our church family.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was something we really felt like we were missing. We loved the church that we came
from. Yeah, right.
We had which I think is a rare thing. We came to a new church, I'm not begrudgingly, that's not the word, but like,
yeah,
if you know my story, I came here to help out for a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was doing somebody a favor. And then it just never stopped, and we were sucked in by what we felt like we needed, which was richer community you know. And we had community in our lives, but it's obvious that God, every single time I get up and I walk out my front door, and I'm reminded that this is a blessing, that I'm here because God has brought me here.
Yeah.
That I didn't understand it in the moment as he was doing that.
Sure.
But it's obvious. And one of the reasons that it is so valuable is because I get to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ in a real way, mm-hmm. on a daily level.
And let's say, you know, that word encourage, you know, sometimes we think of that word as like saying nice things to one another, but that's not at all what that implies. I mean, what it's implying is like, you know, when people are, it's like, you know, soldiers on the battlefield, mm-hmm. and you're picking up those who have been wounded, and you're helping them, yeah. you know, and you're, you know, so encouragement is much more than just, you know, cheering each other on. It's actually like, you know, putting people on our shoulders and, right. and putting our arms around them and helping them move to where they need to move. You know, that, like, that's what encouragement is. And that's what he's talking about. That's what you're talking about there. And to me, you know, so, you know, take care. Then there's this kind of understanding of the preciousness of time.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Today, while you still have today.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like, look, today is slipping away, right? You know that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Today's going to be gone before you know it. So while it's still today, while you still have a chance, man.
Yes.
You know, focus your heart. Focus mm-hmm. focus your heart on Christ, you know.
Well, and it takes the burden of a lifetime. This quote, this idea of a lifetime, you know. Yeah, yeah. And I've known some people who have lived a really long earthly life,
right.
and they've been very faithful in it.
Yeah.
And I remember asking a lady, she was, I don't know. She was probably 98, 99 at the uh-huh. time, and she was at our at a church that I was serving at a long time ago. And I remember talking to her about, it's like, how do you do that? How do you live? Cause she had come to faith when in her teens. And so, you know, you talk about 75 years.
Yeah.
How do you
yeah.
do that? Right. How do you, I can't really even put my mind around that. Mm-hmm. And she said, it's today. It's
right.
it's what did I do today? And there have been seasons, you know, she acknowledged there were seasons in her life when she didn't.
Yeah.
And there were seasons in her life when she was very faithful.
Right.
And it's really a question of what am I going to do this moment?
Like
this
right.
this day. And so the urgency of today,
mm-hmm.
you know, is huge. Cause you know, Jesus says, you know, take my yoke upon me. My burden is easy, or my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Right.
You know, because I don't have to plow tomorrow.
That's right.
I got to do it today. Yeah. And I love that, you know, in Christianity and then all through this, you know, he starts off in verse one, therefore, holy brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't say friends.
That's right.
He didn't say acquaintances.
Yeah.
He didn't say to whom it may concern.
Yes.
You right. know, he said brothers, mm-hmm. right? These those of us who have been called to this faith,
yeah.
that have been called the family of God, we're gonna grow in enough relationship and enough trust that when you see something in my life
mm-hmm.
that needs to be cultivated,
right.
that I am neglecting,
yeah.
or I'm harboring something that is not fruitful,
right, right,
right, that you're going to be willing to call it out.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, every single time someone has ever done that for me, it wasn't the first I'd heard of it.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit had already done some yeah. work, and I had refused him.
Yes, right.
And then the Holy Spirit used someone else.
Right.
To show me, hey, Jeremy, you're not that good at hiding.
Yeah, you think you are.
You think you are, but you're yeah. just not. So, and we can take that, and either the enemy can win, and we can you know fight yet again about that. We can have that hardness of heart, mm-hmm. right? We can have a heart that is hardened to that sin, like you know, creating opportunity for sin, or we can yield to that.
Yeah,
you know, and we can say, you're right. You know, and it's not that my brother was right,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's that the Holy Spirit was right. And he just happened to speak through because I was refusing to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, if you go back to like a farming analogy, you know, if you have, you know, land out there, but you don't ever, you know, you don't ever go and break the ground up and till it. And you know what I mean? Then, you know, what happens to it is that it gets hard. You know, yeah. it just gets hard and nothing will grow. And so you have to kind of go out there and work it. You've got to dig that soil. You've got to pull that rich, nutrient rich soil up to the surface mm-hmm. and turn it over, you know, and so that's what he's describing here is mm-hmm. this process of intentionally,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking advantage of the moments that you have to make sure that you are cultivating, You're cultivating relationship with God. You're cultivating faithfulness to God. And so, you know, a lot of times we talk about grace and mercy and everything in the evangelical church, which is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing because that's where our focus really does have to be. But sometimes we neglect to talk about as much the work that we should be putting in as believers to, you know, to cultivate our hearts. We understand that in every other area of our lives, every other discipline in our lives, we understand that in order to be successful at our business, there are disciplines that we have to do every day, right?
Right.
We have to work on every day in order to be successful. We understand athletics, playing an instrument, right? You know, your marriage, for crying out loud, sometimes we need reminders about that, but you don't passively have a good marriage. If you have to cultivate a good marriage, you have to wake up every day and work on it. And so in every area of our lives, we understand this, but somehow when it comes to our faith, we don't think of it as something that we have to constantly be cultivating and working on.
And it's probably because it's a little bit less tangible. It's a little bit harder to see. It's really hard to recognize. And a lot of times I notice the condition of my heart after I've seen some of the fruit that it produces.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I can evaluate, you know, am I producing good fruit or am I being choked out at the moment? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so something my dad always said, was, you know, the hardest place, the hardest field to farm is downwind from a bad farmer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it really is. And there are times when you might have an opportunity to take on new land and you go, ooh, I don't want to fight. I don't want to just have to fight my weeds.
Yeah.
You know, I got to fight theirs too.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking to my older brother about this. We had this one field that we struggled with so much, a lot because of that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And it was obvious that it was good land.
Yeah.
Cause man, it would produce weeds. Golly.
But
we'd go in there, we would have to pull weeds. Like there was a while where it was, we get this thing called mint weeds. Anyway, they're not even an issue anymore cause just the chemicals that we have. But, we would sit there and by hand have to pull them out from the row. You know, the cultivator, you know, the plow can only get so close before you risk damaging the cotton, you know? And we would go in there, we would pull them out by hand because the hoe would get too close, you know, and we're damaged. But then it was so discouraging because we were literally down on our hands and knees, you know, doing this. And then we would look back at what we had done that morning versus what we had done the day before.
Yeah.
It was so much stronger.
Yeah.
That cotton was so much healthier.
Right.
And it was because it just wasn't being choked out
constantly.
And it proved to us that it was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth what we were doing today because you know what tomorrow we're going to be able to do? We're going to be able to look back. And we're going to see the fruit of our labor.
Yeah.
And that has, like, those concepts have been so encouraging because there are times when the daily stuff is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is because I've accepted too many things.
Yeah.
I've put too many things on my plate
and I have to
clear things away. You know, I have to back up and I'm say, what am I going to do? Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to combat today. I'm going to combat the deception of sin by focusing myself on the work exactly what you're talking about, by focusing myself, by reminding my wife of the work that we do together.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And by trying to at least, peer in and see, you know, what is it and asking her about, like, what is it that I can do to encourage you? What is it that I can do to make this a better home?
Mm-hmm.
And then doing the same thing for my children, for encouraging them in their pursuit of the Lord.
Yeah.
And then also, on my, you know, the brothers and sisters in Christ I work with, that I live around, and being willing to bring them, well, myself first, but then also them to the notion or focusing them, I guess, on the truth that is found in Scripture first, because then I know that I haven't diluted it and manipulated it.
Yeah, you
know,
it's not about gain. You.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to point them back to Scripture. And then dwelling in the freedom that comes from the Holy Spirit, knowing that He has already taken care of the sin,
yeah,
you know, that I'm no longer a slave to.
Right.
He's already taken care of that.
Right.
And that he has created and gifted me in a way that can produce fruit.
Yeah.
Right. And then all I have to do is be about the work today.
Yeah. That's
what am I doing to cultivate today? So long as it's called today, mm-hmm. you know, and especially like, I love that you said, cause I hadn't really thought about the urgency of today. You know, I'm not going to turn it off early.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
I'm not going to just close the book on today yeah. while the sun's still up.
That's right. You know, exactly.
I gotta make the best use of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, some questions that we ought to be asking ourselves, Jeremy, and all of us listening, you know, how does my heart, you know, how does my soul need to be tended today? Like, first of all, am I paying attention
mm-hmm.
to what's growing, you know, mm-hmm. in the soil, you know, mm-hmm. That's the first thing.
And you'll know it by the fruit that's
right.
being produced.
Yeah, you yes. can tell. I mean, you know, so, but the second thing is, and also, you know, the Holy Spirit reveals that too. Like the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit reveal it. He'll, you know, if you ask the Lord, is there anything growing up in my soul that needs to be pulled out? The Lord's going to be real faithful to show you that.
Yes, he is.
So
yes,
not, he is. Not a super fun prayer, but necessary. But am I paying attention to what's going on in my soul? Right. Are there things that need to be pulled out? And I like the way you put it because they're not necessarily in and of themselves things that are bad or that we
right.
classify as bad, right?
Right.
You know, the reason that they're weeds is not because they're evil plants, it's because they killed the thing that's supposed to grow there. Right?
And they're supposed to be producing fruit.
Right.
Exactly.
Right, right. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the plant is, if it's growing and how beautiful the flower is, if it's growing in your cotton field, it's a weed,
right.
baby.
Exactly.
You know, you gotta pull that thing.
Yes.
So you know, what needs to be pulled? You know,
mm-hmm.
what's going on in my life that I got to pull that up by the root. I got to get it out of my life because it's going to choke out what the Lord is doing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and asking God those two questions, mm-hmm. you know, and allowing him to reveal those things to us. That's that daily process. That's that taking care. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's keeping our heart from getting hardened, you know, and, which is what the author of Hebrews is describing here. But that's a daily work, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. That's, we got to do it every day. And we gotta and the as we do it, I think, as we're faithful, you know, while mm-hmm. today is today, it can become something that's more natural for us to do, right?
Sure.
Like with anything. When you do something over and over and over again, muscle memory starts to kick in, it becomes mm-hmm. easier for you to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is a constant thing that we're having to do.
Sure.
So
and that muscle so that muscle memory doesn't have to turn into just religion.
Right, exactly.
But there is value in routine.
Exactly. Sure.
You know, if your morning routine includes scripture,
yeah.
I would say you're gonna be more likely to be where you need to be.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And then maybe just one other thought about it is so One of the things that I hope to show my kids is I hope to show them how I am cultivating my own heart.
Yeah, right.
Acknowledging that there are things within me that need to be removed.
Yes, right.
And whenever they see that, hopefully they get to see that as an example, and they're less likely to try to hide things.
Right.
And they're more likely to acknowledge the work that needs to be done because they've seen me do it.
Yes.
You know, right. rather than seeing like, oh gosh, you know, mm-hmm. and hearing a lie of, well, I mean, no one ever struggles with this. It's only you,
yeah.
you know, because it's just so not, it's so false.
Yeah.
But hopefully letting them see me do that work, which is painful mm-hmm. at times, you know?
Oh yeah.
And hopefully it's an encouragement to them sure. in times that where they feel like they're in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things, so that reminds me of one last thing that I wanted to circle back around and hit because you did such a great job talking about it, but I want to remind everybody of it before we close out the podcast. Mm. You know, the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand we're not doing this by ourselves.
Oh, exactly.
You know, we're not supposed to, we weren't designed to, we were never intended to try to cultivate, you know, the soil of our hearts mm-hmm. on our own. We were never encouraged. We were never created to do that and intended to do that. We're supposed to be doing that in, within the context of a loving community, of a Christ-centered community. We're supposed to, that's the way it's supposed to work. When he's writing to the Hebrews, that's who he's writing to. He's writing to a community of believers who are living together. That's why he keeps telling them, encourage one another, you know? And so I just want to remind everybody that having that accountability, having those relationships, having those groups of people that we're doing life with together, where we're really allowing, opening up our hearts to other people, and we're lifting each other up, and we're carrying each other when we need to be carried. Like being involved in those kinds of relationships is absolutely essential for us if we're going to be who God has created us to be. And if we want to take, you know, the words of the author of Hebrews, we want to make sure that our own hearts are not evil and unbelieving in verse 12, turning away from the living God. If we want to make sure of that, verse 13, you must warn each other every day. You know, if we want, what he's saying is, if we want for our hearts to not be evil and unbelieving, right, then we have to be rooted in a community of Christ followers.
Absolutely.
We've got to be attached to the body of Christ. And you know, I know you know, sometimes probably folks in our church get sick of hearing me say that, but when you're talking about these essential things that we have to have in order to be who Christ wants us to be, we can't be who we were created to be if we're not spending time in the Word. We can't be who we're created to be if we're not focusing our heart and spending time in relationship with Jesus. We can't be who we're created to be if we're not connected to the body of Christ.
Exactly. You
know, it's impossible. And so that really does matter. And that's part of that cultivation, you know, that we have to be doing. So now sometimes you've got to pull some other stuff out of your life.
Oh yeah.
In order to make that happen. Sometimes you have to uproot some things in your life, some good things even.
Yeah.
In order to put yourself in a position where your soul and your heart is being cultivated and where you're connected to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it, you know?
Absolutely.
It's the only way. It's the only way to not end up with an unbelieving heart, an evil unbelieving heart. So, anyway, so that's good. Any final words that on Hebrews? Anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to say before we wrap this whole thing up?
No, I love Hebrews. I'm excited to see what transpires over the next few chapters. Hebrews, it doesn't disappoint. Like it's got really good stuff. Like this is gonna be a lot of fun as our church goes through.
So much rich stuff. In fact, it's so dense. Like as far as like so much truth packed into these short little phrases that sometimes you can feel like you're drinking from a fire hydrant when you're reading.
Oh, right.
And you can even get discouraged. So I don't want you to do that. But as you're reading, y'all, really allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. There's really some good stuff. And what we're reading right now really lays the foundation for the discussion he gets into later in the book, where he's talking to us about what faith actually is.
You know,
once we understand who Jesus is and what his position actually is, then that, and we understand his faithfulness, right? Well, then our faithfulness makes a whole lot of sense in the context of his faithfulness.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's kind of where we're headed. And I'm excited that we're doing this together as well. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining me. It's always a pleasure to...
Thank you for letting me.
Always a pleasure to talk about the Bible with you, man, and Jesus with you. That's good stuff. So, and for you guys out there, have fun. And in Hebrews chapter 3 this week, hopefully you'll see a lot of things that are interesting, fascinating to you, have a lot of questions. You know, if we can pray for you, we want to do that. There's a link to our prayer request on our website. There's a link in this episode. There's also a link to the reading plan out there. So make sure that you're doing that. But read Hebrews chapter 3 this week. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Keep diving in. Have a great time digging into God's Word this week. The Deep Dive Podcast is a ministry of First Baptist Church Shallow Water. Check out the description of this episode for a link to the reading plan, our church's website, and more. Remember, God is good and His Word is true. Keep diving in.